progressive, respectful, mentoring, compassionate. These are the values of Palmdale Regional Medical Center. And now we proudly present Palmdale Regional Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
According to the CDC, only about half of adults in the United States have the resources and plans in place for a possible emergency. Families can make emergencies less stressful by preparing in advance and working together as a team. Before making your disaster plan, it's important to know what types of emergencies are likely in your area and the best way to respond. It's also important to know what type of emergency services are available in your community so that you know who to turn to in case of a disaster. Here to speak with us today about emergency preparedness is Eric Pinnell. He's a disaster coordinator with Palmdale Regional Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Eric. So tell us about emergency preparedness and, for example, what does a hospital do to get ready for a disaster such as an earthquake? What does that entail?
Sure. Well, emergency preparedness in general refers to the steps you take to make sure you're safe before, during, and after an emergency or a natural disaster. The steps include effective preparedness, prevention, mitigation, response, and recovery to both natural and man-made disasters. As far as hospitals, it entails much more than just preparing for earthquakes, although that is our primary concern considering where we're located. Hospitals play a key role in the nation's emergency preparedness and response. As part of this quote-unquote standby role to communities, hospitals are vital to disaster response activities. In fact, in times of disaster, communities look to hospitals not only to care for the ill and injured, but to also provide food and shelter and help coordinate recovery. So being ready for any possible scenario, including natural disasters, biological warfare, terrorism, radiological and nuclear events, means that hospitals must invest in communications and emergency power systems such as generators, purchase personal protective equipment, build decontamination units or teams, and store mass medical supplies. Also, hospitals must be comprehensive community disaster planning, involved in training, drills, and even surveillance systems. The four key areas that I look at are risk assessment based planning on all hazards approach, meaning I look at every possible disaster and the probability of it occurring here in our area. I will write policies and procedures based on the risk assessment and then come up with a communications plan and then ongoing training and testing by holding classes, drills, and tabletop exercises.
Well, it's certainly a comprehensive approach and definitely something that hospitals are such a vital part of. Does hospitals' emergency preparedness program include the safety and security of all people, including visitors and guests, or is it primarily focused on patients and employees?
It definitely is a very comprehensive system. The hospital's emergency preparedness program includes the safety and security of all people, including visitors and guests, but it is primarily focused on patients and employees.
So what are some of the practical steps that you take in the event of an emergency or a disaster or to plan in advance for them? Are there a certain order of steps or does it depend on the emergency or disaster?
Again, as you said, it is quite a comprehensive process. In the event of an emergency or disaster, the EOP, which is the Emergency Operations Plan, will be initiated when it has been determined that a disaster or emergency has occurred or has the potential for occurring. There is a written plan for practically every type of natural or man-made disaster, as well as plans for communication, resources, safety and security, staffing, utilities, evacuation, and recovery. If the plan is to be activated, the chief executive officer or his or her designee will notify the operator to notify all personnel via an internal paging system and by the use of a mass notification system for all on- and off-duty staff. At this point, the chief executive officer will activate the incident command system, which is a standardized approach to the command, control, and coordination of an emergency response. Delegated members of the hospital incident management team will then become part of the hospital command center, which is located centrally inside the hospital, but it has the capability to become mobile if needed. And the hospital emergency management team consists of an incident commander, public information officer, liaison officer, and a safety officer. Other positions would include operations chief, a planning chief, logistics chief, and even finance in order to manage the whole disaster.
So you've got this plan in place, but even the best laid plans can go awry. Maybe somebody in a leadership position can't even make it to the hospital to help out and to run their department. So do you have a plan for, like, down the line for who's next in line as leadership?
Yes, we do. As part of being a disaster coordinator, it entails creating what's called a BCP, or a business continuity plan, for every department located in the hospital. Part of that plan includes a section called Order of Succession and a Delegation of Authority. Every department has established and maintains orders of succession for those key positions in the event that that department leadership is incapable of performing those authorized duties. The designation as a successor enables that individual the legal authority to act on behalf of the director and carry out specific duties, and basically serves in the same position as a director in the event that that person is unable to attend due to death, incapacity, or resignation.
So what other resources does the hospital have to rely on in the event of a disaster, and are other counties and agencies involved with the hospital? Do hospitals kind of come together to assist each other? How does that work?
Basically, the hospital has essential supplies, pharmaceuticals, medical supplies, equipment, food, water, and fuel for the generators for all of the patients and staff for up to 96 hours when our hospitals cannot be supported by the local community. We do have contracts or agreements in place with other local companies for those supplies, such as the food and water, fuel, etc. There's also further assistance available from the local city, the county, of course the county fire department, state and federal government through what's called the Hospital Preparedness Program, and through the Federal Emergency Management Agency, also known as FEMA. Lastly, we're able to use our neighboring hospitals as well as our sister hospitals located throughout the other cities and counties.
So now let's talk about individuals. People want to prepare. They want to know what they should do to prepare. What's your best advice, Eric, to families and even people with loved ones that might be senior citizens in preparing for these types of emergencies? What do you want them to keep on hand, and where can they go for more information?
Sure. For individuals who would like to prepare at home for a disaster emergency, there are many places they can go online to get basic information, such as disaster plans, kits for their home, or even their whole neighborhood. A few places that they can visit would be the Center for Disease Control at emergency.cdc.gov, the Department of Homeland Security at ready.gov, your local county and city websites, such as lacounty.gov, cityofpalmdale.org, cityoflancaster.org, as well as the American Red Cross at redcross.org.
So as long as you brought up the Red Cross, they do have on their website kits for
yes.
people. So if someone's looking at those kits and you're supposed to check off on the list what you want to have included, they have already made kits or you can make your own. What do you think are some of the most important things you'd like families to keep around their house in a special place that they could either use to grab and go or if they had to hunker down?
Well, I would believe that their kids should have enough critical supplies such as non-perishable foods, at least 1 gallon of water per person per day, a basic first aid kit, important documents, important medications for at least 3 days. And please don't forget anything that you need for your pets.
That's a good point. And you mentioned medications. So if people want to have their medications in this kit, you know, that means doubling up and as well as your documents. You work at a hospital. What do you tell people about their medications? And if they can't keep double in this kit, where should they keep them where they can get to them fast if they need to evacuate?
I would say to keep them in a place that would be easily accessible, maybe a kitchen or somewhere near a door where they can grab the medications and then leave, or maybe even in their car as long as the weather's not too hot or too cold.
And what about keeping in touch? Because what we've been hearing lately is that if cell sites are down or if there is no, there's no emergency system up at that time, people don't know where their loved ones always are. Should they make a plan ahead of time and say, okay, if this happens and cell sites are down, this is how we'll get in touch with each other?
Yes, sometimes, believe it or not, when you try to make a phone call locally, the lines will be tied up, but if you can call a long-distance number out of state, many times the signal actually will get through. So I would suggest having out-of-state contact that they can try to contact, and maybe even meeting places at certain locations of the city or the neighborhood, and they can kind of do a chain of trying to contact each other through emails, social media, or even a landline.
So then summarize it for us, Eric, about putting together a plan and the questions that family members, friends, households should use to start this plan, and what you also want them to know about their comfort level that you at Palmdale Regional Medical Center are prepared in the event of any of these disasters?
Well, I feel that it's important to share with the audience about emergency preparedness. And the biggest thing is just be prepared. Have a written plan. Have a plan that you could practice with drills and with your family. What to do during an earthquake, for instance. What to do during a fire. Where to meet after the disaster has occurred, whether it's a certain location in the house or maybe outside in the driveway or wherever that you come up with. And also, again, have an emergency kit for not only your home, but have one in the car as well. And again, store those critical supplies such as the non-perishable foods, water, which is at least 1 gallon per person per day, a first aid kit, those medications and documents that we talked about, again, for at least 3 days. And please, please don't forget about your pets.
Such important information and very reassuring to hear how prepared you are, Eric. Thank you so much for being with us today. You're listening to Palmdale Regional Radio with Palmdale Regional Medical Center. For more information, please visit palmdaleregional.com. That's palmdaleregional.com. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of Palmdale Regional Medical Center. The hospital shall not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.